Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, filling in today for Lori Walsh. The South Dakota Corn Growers Association welcomed President Trump's announcement last week that he's directing the Environmental Protection Agency to follow the law and maintain the renewable fuel standard. So what does this mean for corn growers and ethanol producers in the state? Lisa Richardson is the executive director of South Dakota Corn Growers Association and is here to discuss the changes. Lisa Richardson, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good afternoon.
Yes, just barely in the afternoon now. So for folks like me who haven't been as keyed into this conversation, I'm hoping you can bring us up to speed to start off with. Tell us a little bit about these renewable fuel standards and how what this impact is going to be.
Sure. Senator Daschle started a program, introduced a legislation called the Renewable Fuel Standard, or we've referred to it as the RFS. The person who actually got it passed was Senator Thune, and it was RFS 1 and then RFS 2. And in it, it has different statutory requirements for like cellulosic ethanol, and then what advanced biofuels, and then what we call corn-based ethanol. And Administrator Pruitt and Administrator Wheeler started giving waivers out to the refining industry. And this last round of waivers was well over 2 billion gallons. Over the past, since Trump has been there, he has waived over 4 billion gallons of ethanol. Well, what does that mean to corn growers and the ethanol industry? In South Dakota, we produce about 800 million bushels of corn. About 400 million, about half our product, actually goes to ethanol production across the state. So it was a huge demand decrease in corn growing. We currently have about, across the country, about 21 ethanol plants idle, means not running, due to all these waivers. So what the president announced last week, and we're very optimistic, we think it's a step in the right direction, the RFS, and then they have these volume requirements. And there, you know, as I explained, there's different levels, and ours was 15. He is raising it, and we haven't seen the paper on it, but to about 16.3 billion gallons. He did a three-year average to account for all of these waivers that the EPA has granted to the oil industry.
So the RFS truly sounds like a South Dakota rooted effort from Daschle to Thune to get the first version passed.
Yep.
And I just want to outline again, because this was surprising to me, you're saying 800 million bushels of corn produced in South Dakota, 50% of that goes to ethanol production. I have that right?
Yep.
So for
everyone out there listening, ethanol is a huge industry to this state. Okay? Now this year we're not going to produce 800 million bushels because we have a substantial of our land. Mm. Due to the wetness, not planted. But historically, we use about 350 to 400 million for ethanol. We use 80 million for all livestock combined, and the rest we export out of the state, primarily to other countries.
And these exemptions from RFS for oil companies, again, impacting that demand, so really a negative impact for South Dakota corn growers.
Yep, we have plants that are running at half capacity. None are, to my understanding, most are not running at full capacity. So, yeah, this is welcome news. Obviously, the devil is always in the details, but we're optimistic that this will give us a piece of the market back.
Great. So, as far as this announcement goes, there's multiple pieces of this that the EPA is going to be accepting comments on various acts, but kind of run us through again. Now that these exemptions less in play following the law of the RFS, how is this, with the optimism, point us to what we think this is going to look like, how this is going to change the current situation as far as getting that market back?
It's not going to change it overnight, but there's, I'm using a lot of acronyms, but there's this how they value the RFS is they call them RINs, and that's a renewable identification number. And those values of those RINs, if you don't blend ethanol, then you have to purchase RINs. Even when ethanol, and historically right now we do have relatively low oil prices, but we have very low commodity prices, very low ethanol prices as well. And ethanol is a huge octane, so when you buy, it goes, when you buy 10% ethanol, you bump the octane up. Mm. So this will companies that just physically won't give us access to the market, we hope this will perhaps give a nudge to make what I'm going to call a Bob, another strange name, but it's what they put in the pipeline that you blend with it, mm-hmm. that we can use E15 in the Southeast and in some of the areas across the country. And then these RIN prices will be substantially less. So this is a big deal because EPA candidly has given an oil a pass on all of it, and they've really gutted the renewable fuel standard.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how we're hearing the importance to South Dakota in particular, but on a national scale, what does this move indicate as far as our move towards ethanol?
Well, on a national scale, the exciting thing about ethanol is it's clean burning. It has a lower carbon footprint. The other piece for all of your listeners out there, South Dakota has actually started benchmarking their soils. Most of our ethanol right now is going into California. It's called to CARB, the California Air Resource Board, and they get a higher value based upon their carbon footprint. So ethanol, which increases your octane, if our country produces higher compression engines, it emits less in the air. We have less toxin. Initially, ethanol was put in because it's an oxygenate. It puts oxygen back in the air. It is clean burning. So it's, for the country as well, it's a win.
I'm going to talk a little bit more generally now, if you don't mind, about
sure.
the role of corn in South Dakota agriculture. And as we move into conversations about the future of the ag industry and the future of renewable energy and clean energy and things like this, how are you seeing biofuels becoming an even bigger part of South Dakota's future? If we're hearing about 50% of our corn production in an ag state going towards this, what are kind of the indicators that you're seeing as the direction we're moving?
Well, actually, instead of working on federal policy, I see a lot of state initiatives happening. I see there's a low-carbon fuels program in California. There's one in Oregon. Colorado is looking at passing one through their state legislature. The Northeast, Maine, New Hampshire, that area is looking at that as well. And so that they're looking at it for the environment, and we in South Dakota, the way we produce our corn and the technology that's in these ethanol plants, we can meet that standard. We're very, very, very sustainable and very clean. So I suspect and believe that it will grow long term.
What are the major obstacles, I guess, in this growth? Now that this announcement has been made, what are some of the things that you're watching and hopeful about as far as next steps, maybe?
There's a couple things out there. You know, access to the marketplace is all that corn growers are looking for. Mm. We always talk about getting underneath the canopy. So when you pull up to get gas, that canopy, and you have a choice, we're just looking to get some what we would call shelf space so we can compete head to head with oil. And oil has kept us out of that very strongly. And so just a right to compete for a clean burning, very self environmentally safe product. That's what we're looking for long term.
Mm-hmm. And in our final moments together, tell us, remind our listeners once again, some of the other work that South Dakota Corn Growers Association is focused on.
Sure. We do a substantial amount of research with our land-grant university at South Dakota State. We also work on exports. Exports are a big piece of what happens to our product. The exciting thing, I keep talking about a low-carbon fuel. I think some of our ethanol is actually going to end up in Japan where they have a low-carbon fuel program. We do a lot of promotion. You see us out. We focus on high school athletics, high school events, that type of thing. But we tell our sustainability story. And an exciting thing we just started about a year ago is we teamed up with Pheasants Forever, and we're doing a salinity, a win-win project, we call it. Because we've had a substantial amount of rainfall over the past 10 to 20 years in the Dakotas, the water has increased our water table, and then when it goes down, it leaves the salt there. And we studied with our land grant, what can we plant to protect those soils? So we actually have a program where we pay farmers. We do it with Pheasants Forever, and it provides habitat, and it actually maintains healthy soils. So sustainability is, in keeping that soil alive, is something we put a substantial amount of effort in currently.
Mm-hmm. My guest has
especially this year. I have to tell you, this year is the biggest fear. For all of you, you drive around, you see all this open fields where nothing got planted, and your cover crops, nothing, because Mother Nature wouldn't allow us in. Well, there's concern out there, what happens to those soils? We need those soils to stay alive, the worms, all of it. So that's Mother focus of energy as we're trying to meander through these uncertain weather times.
My guest has been Lisa Richardson, Executive Director of the South Dakota Corn Growers Association. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us, breaking down the Trump administration's announcement related to RFS. We'll have you back again sometime soon, I'm sure.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.